So far in our dialogue on the Sabbath, we have explored the day of Sabbath. But this week, we have seen how the Sabbath day extends out into the Sabbath year, 1 year in seven. And today we will learn about the Jubilee. The Jubilee is the Super Sabbath. It's the Sabbath cycle on steroids. Right before this passage, we hear some about the seventh year, the Sabbath year, how there is to be rest for the land for an entire year, every 7 years. Hear now, though, about God's Jubilee from Leviticus 25. You shall count off 7 weeks of years, 7 times 7, so that the period of 7 weeks of years gives 49 years. Then you shall have the trumpet sounded on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall have the trumpet sounded throughout all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year, and you shall proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. You shall return every one of you to your property, and every one of you to your family. That 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. You shall not sow or reap the aftergrowth or harvest the unpruned vines, for it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat only what the field itself produces. In this year of jubilee, you shall return every one of you to your property. When you make a sale to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor, you shall not cheat one another. When you buy from your neighbor, you shall pay only for the number of years since the Jubilee. The seller shall charge you only for the remaining crop years. If the years are more, you shall increase the price. And if the years are fewer, you shall diminish the price. For it is a certain number of harvests that are being sold to you. You shall not cheat one another, but you shall fear your God, for I am the Lord your God. If any who are dependents on you become so impoverished that they sell themselves to you, you shall not make them serve as slaves. They shall remain with you as hired or bound laborers. They shall serve with you until the year of the Jubilee. Then they and their children with them shall be free from your authority. They shall go back to their own family and return to their ancestral property. For they are my servants, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as slaves or sold. You shall not rule over them with harshness, but you shall fear your God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Redemption in Him.
Amen. The year of Jubilee is come. When I told a friend about our Jubilees on the Eastern Shore, they couldn't believe it. They thought I was telling some mythical story about dragons or mermaids. Why would fish move close to land? Why would this phenomenon only happen on the Eastern Shore of Alabama? Why is it so unusual, so unpredictable? I had to make the server on the causeway confirm the validity of Jubilees. My friends are still in disbelief about it. For better or worse, these mysterious Jubilees are happening more. They aren't happening every 50 years here, more like 2 to 3 times a year. Maybe because of our changing weather patterns. Maybe because of humans' influence on our world. There's some wisdom to taking a break on the 7th and 50th year so creation can reset. God's Jubilee sounds just as unbelievable as our Jubilees. Fish would walk on dry land before many people would return land to its original owners, before some would free hired laborers. And how do you decide who the original owner of a land is? The Israelites started the clock after they were in possession of the land. Otherwise, after 50 years, they would have had to return the land to the Canaanites. But when would we start the clock? Today? When we are born? What counts as my ancestral home? Rock Hill, South Carolina, where I grew up? Clinton, South Carolina, where my father grew up? Or do I go farther back? Israel wasn't the only nation to celebrate Jubilees. In ancient Mesopotamia, kings decreed Jubilees and returned land. But it was when the king decided. Usually, Jubilees happened at the beginning of a king's reign to gain favor. But Scripture standardizes Jubilees for the kingdom of Israel. Jubilee wasn't up to the king's whims. It happened because God commanded it to happen every 50th year. And not only is land returned, but families are reunited. Slaves are freed. And although it could have been wiped out of Scripture, it has endured the test of time. There it is in the oldest dreams of Israel, the Jubilee, waiting to be dreamed again. It's a powerful dream, isn't it? The dreaming of returning, forgiveness, repair, and homecoming regularly. But it doesn't just have to be a dream. We can make it a reality. We can become so focused on the letter of the law that we forget the purpose of it. Maybe we can't actually return land. That's not practical. But here's a challenge for us. Maybe it's not land we need to return. Maybe our goal is to find out what belongs to others and to give it back. Jubilee reminds us that excessive wealth comes at a price. The excess that we can accumulate comes at a price for another. Maybe the excess comes from nature, our accumulation of more strips the earth barren. Maybe we need to give something back to our planet. Maybe our excess comes at the price of not paying a living wage to others. Maybe we need to give back to what belongs to others. 82% of the world's money generated last year went to 1% of the world's population, while the poorest half saw no increase at all. In 2018, the world's richest 61 people had just as much wealth as the poorest half of the world. God did not intend a world like this, where a few controlled all the wealth and power, and half the population has little. The Jubilee reminds us of the interconnectedness of everything. The wealth of 1% comes at a cost of half of the world. Jesus in the Gospel of Luke chapter 4 states that he has come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That year of the Lord's favor, that's Jubilee. Although the Israelites stopped celebrating Jubilee after they became scattered, Jesus claims it and names it as a central part of his ministry. The primary trajectory set loose in and by the Sabbath command is the principle of regular release from the things that enslave, oppress, and bind human life. And what does Jubilee free us to do? I would argue three things. It frees us to go home, to forgive, and to imagine. First, homecoming. The Israelites lived in an honor-shame culture. When you made a mistake, it was not just shame on you, but on your entire family. So you lose your land. Shame on you and your family. You get sick and are unable to work. That's some bad juju. Shame on you and your family. As a woman, if your husband left you, shame, shame on you, and forget about family. You borrow, steal, take up a profession like a tax collector, or start eating with pigs. Shame, shame, shame. Today we know there are still wounds that separate families. And although time passes and people change, it can be hard to go home. It can be hard to make amends and to forgive. But what if there was a command that every 50 years you had to go home? What if there was a redo? Maybe not for you, but for your sons and daughters. What if that shame could be wiped away? The Jubilee gives hope that even the prodigal can return home. Second, forgiveness. We pray each Sunday in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." In the seventh year and the 50th year, we see how not just emotional or relational debts can be wiped clean, but God's purpose is to forgive everything. Our economic debt, ecological debt, relational debt. What if we could repair the world? What if the way to repair the world is through forgiveness, returning what is not ours through Jubilee? Marcia Harris puts it like this in her book on Jubilee. Forgiveness. Forgive everything we can. Forgive debts. Forgive trespasses. Forgive sin. Forgive family. Forgive world debt. What would happen in our world if we forgave as our Lord forgives everything? To repair our world is a mighty task. It can feel as foolish and unimaginable as Jubilee. But I think the point of stopping one day in seven, one year in seven, and the 50th year is to imagine the unimaginable, dream the ridiculous, believe the unbelievable. What if we could reset the clock for those struggling and suffering in our community? What if we could restore God's creation to the way God intended it? What if we could be God's resurrection people by bringing life to what appears lifeless and dead? It's possible, I think, through a big old reset, through a super Sabbath. Let us, along with Christ, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This year, our church's 75th year, let's proclaim a jubilee. For if we did, there would be shouts of joy, trumpet blast of liberty on earth and in heaven, like we have never seen before. So go home. Welcome others home. Forgive. Be forgiven. Return what does not belong to you. And repair our world. It's that easy and that hard. Amen.